Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
NYYST. Hold up. Why do they doubt the kid? I'm about to prove them all wrong again. I got a low tolerance, cause they don't even know where the problem is. It's me. You waiting on the boy to fail, then hold your breath and face your death. Cause you play a roulette with each step. I progress no less. Go ahead and place your bet. Cause we know we, yeah, we know we top tier. Cause all the hate that you bring, we know it stops here. I'm taking off like a rocketeer and stopping here. It's strange how they cannot see the future, but see profit here. Wait up.
Welcome back. This is episode 465 of the NYYST podcast. We're live on NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian, and I'm with the one and only Francis Lee.
Yeah, what's up, fam? What's up, NYYST family? Glad to be here. Thanks for having me, brother.
You're a lifesaver, bro. Can't thank you enough for joining us tonight. Unfortunately, Sem is very much under the weather. He fought through the last episode that we did, and it got to him today. I told him to take the night off. We're calling in the pinch hitter. Like, you're like Paul Goldschmidt in yesterday's game.
I'll take it. I'll take it. Let me see if I get the job done like Goldie. You know, that's what we need to see.
We're live here tonight on NYYU. So glad to be back here live on the U and joined by Francis Lee. So if you're in the chat tonight, please like this video and subscribe to NYY Underground. And if you're listening to us on your favorite podcast platform, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. And everybody, make sure you are subscribed to the NYYST podcast on your favorite podcast platform, because we do have audio-only shows throughout the course of the year. We don't want you guys to miss anything, so hit up your favorite podcast platform, subscribe, and tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. Okay. Francis, we had a good week in Seattle. Okay, we got to start with a little bit of somber news, though. We got to just, you know, best wishes out to Oswaldo Cabrera, man. I know it's a couple of days, but first time we're getting to talk about it here on the show. I'm the type of guy, when the Yankees are out on the West Coast, I turn the lights off, I lay in bed, leave the game on, knowing that I'm going to pass out it this way. Then when I wake back up, I can pick up the game, and I woke up right before the ninth inning, man. So I saw that whole thing unfold and just a devastating injury to Oswaldo Cabrera. So best wishes to him. We still don't really know the full extent of it. How bad did he tear some tendons up? I don't know how he couldn't have, based on the positioning of that. I don't mean to laugh. I'm just saying, like, the positioning of that ankle. So, you know, you look at players on a team And he's a valuable asset for the Yankees. Just we're talking just specifically on the field. I'm not the biggest fan of Cabrera as an everyday player, but I always say a guy like Oswaldo Cabrera is needed on every championship team, a guy that has the versatility, a guy that can play multiple positions. And as you've seen, the Yankees now twice have, in the last few years, have went into a season without having a legitimate starter in left field and at third base, and it turned out to be Oswaldo Cabrera. The guy brings, you know, a lot of energy. He's always smiling. You saw how deeply this affected the Yankees. It was a very awkward interview with Meredith and Trent Grisham after the game on Monday because he was deeply affected by that. And obviously, what, you know, you can see that. And she's trying to be a little bit lighthearted. And, you know, he really wasn't having any of it. Not saying he was being a dick to her, but like the situation didn't dictate the jovialness of her mm-hmm. tone. So that was a little bit awkward to see, but he had a great quote. He said, "Oswaldo is the best of us." And, you know, like, I'm not in that room. So, but you could see how much he means to that team, you know, just the way Judge didn't leave his side and the way that they had a really good win on Monday night. And it was just an afterthought to them. So, you know, we don't know how long, but I'm assuming it's going to be a while before we see Oswaldo Cabrera back on a baseball field, and just want to wish him well, man. And hopefully we do see him back playing for the Yankees.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's tough. You lose a guy like Waldo. He's clearly means so much more in terms of clubhouse than he does in the stat sheet. And I think at a time like this is where you kind of separate the two, because a couple weeks ago, you can probably find a clip of me, you know, talking about something that Waldo didn't do or something that he did do that I didn't like or whatever. But then something like this happens and it kind of puts things into perspective where you look at it and it's like, Waldo's a guy who does so much more than what appears on a stat sheet. He does so much more than what you're going to see on SportsCenter or MLB Network. Like, you're probably never going to see his name there, but everybody on the team knows him. Everybody on the team loves him. And the moment he went down, the tenor changed completely. And it's like you said, they weren't in the celebratory mood at all. And I feel like that cloud kind of like followed them throughout the rest of that series. Like game two, they never, you know, they just never came to. And I kind of expected that. Like, I was like, after what happened in game one, I don't think, you know, they're going to be raring to go in game two. And they didn't look good at all. The offense was kind of like sleepwalking through it. And then even the game that we won to take the series, it's a 3-2 game. So the offense didn't really, you know, show up and have one of those classic performances that they've showed us this year, like 9-10 runs or anything like that. They did just enough to win, and they left with the series win. But yeah, you can tell it's something that affected them out there, and it's probably going to affect them until they know for sure that their guy is good.
Yeah, and that just goes to show you the team-first mentality of Oswaldo Cabrera, that he's laying there with, you know, his ankle has basically been twisted around like a pretzel, and he's asking, he goes, "Judgey, did I score?" And yeah. I mean, Jesus, bro. You know, this is how my mind goes. Like, I'm thinking of, like, as Mickey's laying there dying in Rocky III, and he's asking Rocky, like, "Did we beat him?" And, you know, like, Rocky's got to lie to him because he just got his face busted open because he was so worried about Mickey. But at least, you know, we didn't have to lie to Oswaldo in that situation. But, like, I don't know why. Like, my brain made that connection.
Of course. Of course, that's where Christian goes. He's like, it was like Rocky lying to Mickey right before he died. So you're killing, he's killing off Waldo. See, now we can laugh about it, okay? Because this is what we're doing content here. So essentially, you're killing off Waldo. And you're turning Aaron Judge into Rocky. I like Judge's Rocky. I don't know about Waldo being Mickey dying, though.
Yeah, nah, that's the only, but that's where my brain went. It's like, did we KO second?
And Rocky doesn't have the heart to tell him that he got the brakes beat off.
Yeah, he got his brains beat in. But you know what? If he didn't score, I bet you Judge lies to him in that situation. He's like, yeah, we got it.
That's who Judge is. That's who Judge is. He's the quintessential, like, oh no, yeah, you did. You scored and we won big. Even if they ended up, you know, getting walked off or something.
Yeah. We blew a 6-run lead in the ninth, but you know, don't worry.
You imagine? You see, this is, look, silver lining, right? Thank the Lord that it didn't turn out completely horrible that night. Like, if a situation where we had, you know, a closer who couldn't get it done, which was the situation a couple weeks ago, and then it came in, blew the game, and all that would have been for naught, that would have been horrible.
But you were right.
Insult to injury.
You did bring up a good point, though, because I thought about this during actually Wednesday morning, because like I said, I was a little bit more tired on Tuesday after, you know, being up late on Monday, that I didn't catch as much of the game on Tuesday. But I did think about that the only run they scored was in the ninth on like a chopper that Volpe hit. That it did seem like there was a bit of a gray cloud over that over the team on Tuesday there. And, you know, Boone said that, you know, Oswaldo was still in really good spirits when they went to visit him in the hospital. And you really don't expect anything less out of the guy. You know, so like I said, man, yeah, it's sucks to see anybody suffer an injury like that. And God only knows how bad it is. It could potentially be career ending if it's that bad. We don't know yet. I'm just saying. But it really sucks to see a guy that always has a smile on his face, is always happy to be there, is just is joyful, just to, you know, he understands the privilege it is to be a Major League Baseball player and to be a Major League Baseball player that plays for the New York Yankees. So and to see how much those guys love him, the guys that are with him every single day from February to October, it especially sucks to see it happen to Oswaldo. But like we said, man, best wishes, and hopefully, you know, we do see him back out there again.
Yeah, I think I was reading that he's currently getting different opinions on, you know, what exactly, which route to take before actually getting surgery. So I think what's clear at this point is that he will 1,000% need the surgery. I think it's figuring out what the plan of action is going to be, what kind of surgery and what type of reparative methods they're going to use. Likely there's going to be some screws and rods in there. I don't think there's any way he avoids that. And I hate to harp on it because, like we said, it was a gruesome injury and it was not the prettiest situation. But yeah, when you look at the way that his ankle was turned, you expect that it's going to be a situation where there's going to be some foreign objects going into that ankle to get it right. And then it's just a matter of, you know, how long recovery takes and things like that. Now, as for career ending, I think, yeah, I do think it's a possibility. But I was also telling some people the other day, I don't know if you watch basketball like that, but if you remember Gordon Hayward, he was on the Celtics actually when it happened to him. Gordon Hayward suffered the same thing, and his looked even worse. Like his was like hanging off his leg, like
yeah,
that.
I think I
it was bad. It was bad, and he came back. It took a while. It took a while. I think years, if I'm not correct, but he came back eventually. So hopefully we get Waldo back, because, like Trent Grisham said, he is the best of baseball players in terms of attitude, and you need that.
We got a couple super chats here from Connor O'Neill. We'll get to them real quick. He says, "What's up, Chris and Francis? How you doing? How you doing?" And then he says, "Do you guys, with time, will Warren control?" Oh boy, I always have trouble reading these. "Do you guys, with time, will Warren control would get better as he gets older? Some pitchers." Well, Connor, thank you for the super chats. We'll get to Will Warren in a second here. But so the Yankees ended up winning on Monday, lost that game 2-1 on Tuesday. And I was up for the 11th inning, and they didn't score there. And I just turned the TV off. I said, I know for a fact they're losing this game. And then when I woke up in the morning, I was like, yep, didn't take very long.
The crazy record that we have on the road in extra inning games.
I'm pretty sure they have they're the worst team in baseball in extra inning games on the road since 2020.
I was looking at the numbers, and in Aaron Boone's tenure on the road, extra innings is just disastrous.
It's been especially bad since they instituted this whole ghost runner.
Oh, yeah. Ever since. So that what the ghost runner has done to the Yankees has like exposed them even more, because before that, 2018, 2019, they still weren't good extra innings on the road. But then with the ghost runner, where you thought, okay, well, it'll be a lot easier, especially you're the road team. You're just trying to knock the guy in. And like the road team is, if you're on the road and you're going into extras, you're just trying to stay in it. So you're playing the outlast game.
But I don't think teams are trying to win that, though. I don't know if you see some differently. Mm-hmm. I think road teams are trying to build big innings. And that's why we're seeing some of this.
Because you're right.
I forget what game it was when Ascara hit the walk-off sack fly. Who was that against? It was last week.
That was San Diego, right? No.
No. Was it San Diego? Because they've been on the road.
But it was Oakland.
No. I'm saying it was a walk-off sacrifice.
Oh, no, it was a walk-off, so it had to be. That's what I'm saying. We were home against San Diego. Then
it was San Diego. It was one of the San Diego.
San Diego,
right?
Yeah.
The Yankees built that run. They got the bunt down, and then he lifted. He knew exactly what he needed to do. He lifted the ball because I remember bitching that Jason Hayward was a dick for not letting that ball drop.
I think.
But that was the first time I seen the Yankees actually try to build the run in extra innings.
But they were home. You see.
Exactly. They were home. That's what I'm saying.
That's the issue with them. They're home. They do the right thing, right? If they just go to manufacture the run, it's right there on second base, move a guy over, sack fly, and that'll get it done. On the road, though, you should have the same approach, especially because you're the road team, because you're just trying to outlast the home team. That one inning that you're able to move the guy over and bring him in and they can't get it done in the bottom of the inning, you win just like that. Like if you have the leverage in the bullpen, you can do it. I feel like, I don't know, Boone just doesn't seem like he plays like that on the road.
Yeah, well, I think Boone, for all the shit that I give Aaron Boone, I think he had a really good game on Wednesday because I killed him for that game where he sat on his hands and didn't pinch hit for Ascara a couple weeks ago. But last night, yesterday afternoon, I think he recognized the situation and he got Goldschmidt up there and Goldie tied the game. And then, obviously Aaron Judge, and we got to, you know what, I don't do this enough and I have to, I mean, we just have to do this every episode and read you Aaron Judge's stats after 43 games. He's got a 3.6 WAR already with 15 home runs. The guy's batting .412. Okay. He leaves baseball with 68 hits and 41 runs batted in.
It's wild.
He gets on base at 49% of the time. You want to round up because it's 497. He's on base literally half the time he takes a plate appearance. His OPS is 1279, which is over 100 points higher than Freddie Freeman, who's in second place. And Freddie's got stupid hot lately to even close that gap as much as it is.
Yeah.
And here's the crazy thing, Francis. His OPS plus is 257. And I tell everybody this all the time. I like OPS plus because, not because it's park adjusted, because you know the definitive median in it. It's 100. That
100.
Is league average. Aaron Judge is 157% better than the average Major League Baseball player.
It's crazy.
So if anybody ever gets tired of me doing this, this is going to be instituted every episode now, because I don't want to sit back in 20 years and listen to the archives of this show and say we didn't talk about Aaron Judge enough, because this is ridiculous what he's doing. And I tell Yankee fans this all the time, you know, October is October. Don't let that ever cloud what this man does on a baseball field for every single day.
I'm with you. I think I'm at the point, and you know, I know a lot of fans don't agree with this, but I don't care, because like we always champion. Everybody should fan the way they want to. Well, the way that I fan in regards to Aaron Judge now is, look, we're going to probably be in the playoffs this year, more likely than not. I'll worry about what he's going to do in the playoffs when we're in the playoffs. Right now, though, I'm not going to sit here and look at what he's doing and just keep jabbing out there like, oh, well, let's see it in October. Let's see it in October. It's like, don't. I see a lot of people doing that, and it's like, why do you got to be such a killjoy? Like, I get it. We all know. We're all Yankees fans. We've all suffered through his playoff struggles together. But I'm not going to sit here whilst the guy has an OPS plus that you just said of 250 and pretend like I don't give a damn because he didn't do what I wanted him to do in the play. Like, bro, I get it. I get it. I get it. But we're not going to sit here and act like this shit is normal. All right? This is
not
normal. And if it was Ohtani doing it, we wouldn't have a choice. We would not have a choice. It would be inundated in every single market across the country, all over the freaking world. So let's do it for our freaking guy. Okay, let's do it for our guy. This is sometimes, you know, as Yankee fans, we're a little bit too hard on our own guys. And maybe, you know, and I get it. We expect the best, right? Because we are the best and that's what we expect. But I kind of agree with what you just said. Like, I don't want to look back 20 years from now and think, damn, man, did I not allow myself to enjoy the greatness that was Aaron Judge just because of a few, you know, things that he didn't do? I mean, he's phenomenal. Like, I don't even know how to describe him. The dude's like, he's not even human. He's hitting over 400. We're in the middle of May, Christian. He's hitting over 400. Like, they're talking about Triple Crown already. And normally I would say, like, you know, when they start doing that in freaking May, I'm like, what are you talking? It's May. Like, come on, let's not do that. But with him, I'm like, I don't know. Like, he might.
You can tell that the media wanted Bobby Witt to surpass him so bad this year.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up.
And Aaron Judge was like, nope, don't think so.
He literally, doesn't it feel, and this is going to sound crazy because it's Aaron Judge, but doesn't it feel almost as if he unlocked another level this year?
Brian Kenny said, I don't know if you saw that breakdown. He was spot on with the way Aaron Judge does things now. That it's going to be really interesting to see how he does in October now, because he has unlocked something else in him, in his swing at 33 years old. This is what we also have to understand here, is that this guy is nearing the end of his physical prime. And you know what? Barry Bonds is Barry Bonds, and I've said this numerous times, I'll say it again, I don't take anything away from the steroid guys. They all belong in the Hall of Fame, because Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, A-Rod, you can say chemically enhanced, and that's fine, but that's also a natural talent. You don't get to be that good with just a needle, okay, because then there'd be a lot of guys up there with them. Those guys were special. He's doing this clean, with God-given ability. This is what he's doing. We'll never see this again in our lifetime. Never. I'm sorry.
Hell no. And listen, to the point that you just made, at the NYYU softball game, I saw a couple at bats that I'm like, you could have given that guy two needles, three needles, four needles. It wasn't going to happen. Okay. It is what it is. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, some people are beyond help with that stuff. So I don't like that argument, because it kind of diminishes the natural bat-to-ball skills, hand-eye coordination, and just natural God-given ability that guys like Barry, Alex Rodriguez, you know, all, these guys had ability, amazing ability. Because there's a lot of guys on that steroid list that don't have the numbers that those guys did.
Right, exactly. So that's why I believe they all belong in, because they're just that good. Roger Clemens have seven Cy Youngs?
Come on. It's like, when do you think we're ever going to see that kind of dominance from a pitcher again? Like, never. Maybe you might think now, like, because, you know, right now the hot thing is the Paul Skeens, right? Tarik Skubal, those two guys. Like, how good are they going to be? But, like, how many times have we done this? Like, are those two guys right now, could you look at them and say, like, they're going to be better than DeGrom was in his prime?
Yeah, but look what happened to DeGrom. He had no longevity whatsoever.
But that's my point. But look at how good he was. Like, I know Skeens is good. I know Tarik Skubal is good. But do you remember how good DeGrom was?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, are they going to be that good? I don't think you can say that, but, right?
And then what's their peak? What is their window to be that good?
Exactly.
And if I had
throwing 100 miles an hour for seven innings.
And if you had to bet health versus not health, you'd take the side of not being, these guys are not going to stay healthy for their careers. You can't. I mean, who was a bigger workhorse than Gerrit Cole? We lost him for essentially 2.5 years now.
I mean, to be honest with you, I just think that's where we are in baseball. Like, I saw a picture the other day of an 11-year-old, Christian, an 11-year-old, and he had the arm brace on.
Yeah, I think I remember hearing about that.
He messed up his elbow pitching. Like, there is nothing more heartbreaking than to see an 11-year-old with that. Like, nobody's going to tell that kid. But, like, bro, like, yeah, he'll be able to play baseball. He'll be fine. Like, maybe he can switch to, you know, a position and pursue it if that's his dream. But if he dreamed of being a pitcher, it's over. At 11 years old, it's done.
It's a shame, bro. It really
is.
It's
horrible. Like, but that's where the game is right now, that everything is velo, everything. Like, that's what you need. You need a live fastball. You need, like, and, I mean, even with the breaking pitches, like, they have these kids throwing curveballs, sliders. They're trying to teach kids sweeper, and they're like 12 years old. You can't.
Their arms aren't developed for that.
No, you can't do that. But they start like this, and you'll see natural ability, and you kind of, like, it's human nature. They want to push, and they want to see just how far you can, because they think, you never know. Maybe we're looking at the next Paul Skeens here. Maybe we're looking at the next Tarik Skubal. You don't know. But it's like, dude, even if they are the next one, we're looking at Skubal now. We're looking.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Net Skeens now, and we're enjoying them. They're amazing. And knock on wood, I hope to God nothing ever happens to them. But we'd be naive to sit here and say that we'd bet the farm on nothing happening to them.
Exactly. So the Yankees do have a young pitcher of their own, and I want to talk about him for a quick second here. Is Will Warren. He had that big performance Friday night I'm going to say Oakland because it's just ingrained into my brain.
I said Oakland too before, right?
Yeah, you might have.
I messed it up. My bad. Sacramento right now.
He went 7 1/3 innings, allowed one earned run. That was obviously the best start of his career. Kind of got lost because it was a late night on Friday, and plus DeMartian hit 3 home runs that game. But I made sure on our last episode to kind of shout him out because I've been a Will Warren guy. I know people have given me a lot of shit for that because I watch him. I like his stuff, man. I just think he needs to put it all together in between his ears. And, you know, he had 9 Ks yesterday through 5. He threw a lot of pitches. He ended up getting charged with 2 runs because they made scoring change after the game.
That was brutal. Come on.
So he did get tagged for a couple runs yesterday, but he has now put together probably his 2 best starts consecutively as a major leaguer. Is this a blip in the radar for Will Warren? Are we finally seeing him put it all together at the major league level?
He's young. So I don't want to, I'm going to sound cynical, so whatever, but he's young. So I feel like, yes, while these last 2 starts have been very much, you know, a breath of fresh air, and it does seem like he is trending in the right direction. Would it shock me if the next 2 starts were hard?
No, I mean, it wouldn't.
He's young. Like, this year for me with Warren is like, it's growing pains. We have to see it. Like, we just have to see it. He doesn't have the fastball that he can use as like the get out of jail free card either. So it's like, when he's good, like, it's almost more impressive. Like, me being a former pitcher, like, when I see him deal the way he dealt, like, yesterday and last week, it's almost more impressive than when a guy like Heel does it. Because sometimes you see that Heel doesn't have his best stuff.
But he can get by because he has 99.
He throws 100 miles an hour. So Sometimes he'll just lean on the fastball, even if he doesn't know where it's going.
Which he doesn't.
Warren can't do that. Like no. When you got 94, 95 on a good night, which I saw 95 a couple times in the last couple starts. So I'm going to start running with that. No more 93, 94. He's a 95 guy. When you got not even 95, though, when that's all you got, you need to know where that shit is going. You can't just be throwing it and say, oh, well, I'm going to close my eyes. And nah, that shit don't work. So when he does it, it is impressive. And do I think he found something out these last two starts? Not necessarily. I think I've seen what I've seen from him throughout this entire year and going back to spring, right? It's a guy that when he doesn't walk people, Christian.
Well, yeah, that's his big problem.
Very effective. When he's not giving free passes to the number nine hitter, he's a different pitcher.
I agree.
That's what I'm seeing, basically. If I think the game,
but I want to take the leap of faith. I'm a Will Warren guy. Okay, I'm just going to say it. I'm taking the leap of faith.
Oh boy, you stamping this. You're saying you're a Will Warren guy, and I know
me and Chris
on NYYU who's looking. He likes to go at you.
Who?
So if you're gonna hit your wagon to Will Warren, I'm just saying.
Kev's not a big Will Warren guy.
I don't know. He might have been before this, but if you're a Warren guy, I don't think Kev's going to be a Warren guy after this. I'm just saying.
Okay. Well, I know Chris and I got into some heated debates over him last year because he didn't think he was going to be a major league pitcher. And I said, look at the stuff, man. I'm not saying this guy's going to be an ace, top of the rotation guy, but I think if he can put it all together, he can settle in nicely to be a very reliable 3-4 starter in your rotation.
I mean, Cookie was a major league pitcher this year. Stroman was a major league pitcher this year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to set the bar there, though.
No. But I'm saying, like, and Chris is not, I'm not saying that Chris is, like, unique in saying that. A lot of guys will make comments like that, like, he's not a major leaguer, he's not a major leaguer. But it's like, what's your standard for major leaguer? Your standard for major leaguer can't be Louis Hill, okay? Like, not everybody's that. Not everybody's Clark Schmidt, even. On a championship team, I think you need to have your Will Warren. I don't think you are a championship team if you don't have a guy like Will Warren on the team. The guy who's not a one or two or a three, but he's a solid four. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you need. You need that. Somebody's got to eat the innings. We haven't even gotten to the summer yet, bro. Like, we need that.
You could do a lot worse than having Will Warren at the back end of your rotation.
I mean, when Hill comes back, think about it. How's the rotation look to you? If Hill comes back, knock on wood, you never know.
I feel a lot better about it for sure.
Hell yeah. That means Warren is your four. I mean, no, you're five.
You're five now, yeah.
Warren at your five? That's pretty freaking good. I mean, look what he did the last two starts. Not everybody has a five that can do that. I'm sorry, bro. Like, yeah, he might not be one or two, but he's really good. He's really good. I think. But then again, too, I think there's also the thing with the velocity, right? And maybe that's what it is. People just he's not as entertaining as the other guys.
But let me bring up this point to you, right? You say now we're conditioned to say he only throws 94, 95. When we were younger and a guy threw 95, bro, you thought that he had it was elite 95. Velocity was elite at 95 in the 90s. And you thought a guy, you sat there and thought, like, how's the guy ever hit 95? And now if somebody throws 95, you don't even think that that's good. Nope. Like, you got to be like, you start respecting velocity like 98 plus now. It's crazy
I would say 97 and up. Like, now 97, I consider 97 and up to me is like, okay, this guy throws gas. But you're 100% right. I mean, 95 is generous even to me. I remember 90, like playing baseball when you got older. And you got to, like, your high school age and stuff like that.
I remember
that.
The first time I saw a kid throw 90, I was, like, dumbfounded.
In awe. Yeah, it's like, how does anybody ever hit that? I saw Dellen when I was in high school. And Dellen threw way harder than 90 at that point. But, dude, like, I saw Dellen pitch, and I was like, and this was in Brooklyn, and I was like, I don't know how anybody ever puts the bat on that. Like, I would just stand there and take three and hope that they were outside or something. Like, I don't know how anybody ever put the – he wasn't throwing 100 back then. So I can't imagine what it looked like standing in the box when, like, Dellen Betances was in his prime, because you remember that had to be an uncomfortable at-bat.
Yeah, because he didn't know where the ball was going half the time either.
Damn, we got to do Dylan like that too.
I love Dylan Betances, man. He was one of my favorites when he was here. He was an adventure sometimes.
No, I mean, I agree, but he was one of those guys that was kind of effectively wild.
If you want to be polite about it.
Yeah, the dude, like, I mean, just you look at his numbers as a Yankee, he was great.
He was dominant, man.
He was an all-star reliever. Like, I mean, dude, like, I'm not gonna sit here and push against that point and say, like, no, he had control all the time. He knew. I think he'd tell you himself he didn't know where the shit was going. I mean, but sometimes that shit works for people.
But when he got that breaking pitch over, my God, bro, those hitters stood no chance.
Hell no. I mean, it's like, you remember the days, I can't believe I'm bringing up Aroldis Chapman in the big 2025, but I'm going to do it.
We're going to see him in a few weeks.
I know. Do you remember when he first started throwing the slider?
Yeah.
And it got good for a little bit?
Yeah.
Like, there was a time there where I was like, damn, this guy's going to be the best reliever in baseball. Like, we unlocked something. And then, of course, you know, it didn't happen that way. The slider ended up being the pitch that Altuve put in the seats, but yeah, it is what it is.
You know, shit happens. Then you get jailhouse tattoos. You get left off the postseason roster. And then... but, you know, good segue into the closer here, because before we move on to what's next, let's finish off the Seattle series here. Judge hits that absolute laser beam in the eighth inning. Oh, he's not clutch. Never gets a big hit late in the game. Okay. Yanks go up 3-2.
Also got like 18 hits like that this year. Did you see that stat?
Yeah, his numbers are really good in close and late situations too. He's so clutch. I mean, you don't hit .412 by hitting .090 late in the games, but and then they're debating like, oh, is Weaver, you know, Ruco? No, it's not Ruco. It's Shackle and Jeff Nelson. And I was like, oh, is Weaver going to pitch? He pitched two innings yesterday. I'm like, he threw 21 pitches. And he hadn't pitched in a week. And they have a day off on Thursday. He has to be in this frigging game. And to
it was Boone, a valid question with who leads our team.
Well, I know. I understand that. But I'm just,
I mean, this is the podcast that coined it. Smarter Yankees.
Right. Exactly. I understand. But I'm saying.
You got to ask that question.
I'm saying they're saying he better be in this game right now, because this is a game you have a chance to win the series, have a really good road trip, hit another high water mark on the season, going 7 games over .500. This isn't a game that you can just conveniently punt, which they tried to, because we saw what the lineup was going into the game yesterday. So,
oh, the return of DJ in a punt lineup. I know Christian was just overjoyed when he saw that.
And then I don't know if you caught this. Luke Weaver had a different look in his eyes yesterday.
Yeah.
In almost 2 years that he's been here, he had some type of determination on his face yesterday, where he took the mound with a friggin' purpose, 3 strikeouts, Yankees go home winners. And this is a bargain, dude. They're paying this guy like $2.5 million this year. And he's been a lifesaver. He saved their ass last year, because I don't think, you know what, you can say, I don't think that they do that. I don't think they get to the World Series if they don't make that change in the ninth inning yesterday. We all know that the Clay Holmes truthers are still out there debating me in my comments again today.
I saw that.
You guys are just ridiculous. The guy could, you know, you could say whatever he was. He is a good pitcher. He's been a good starter for the Mets. Can't handle it in the ninth inning, okay? Just a fact. And then apparently, if you bring up the amount of saves that he blew, you're unintelligent. I mean, isn't that what we judge closers on? Whether or not they saved the game or not?
When he blew saves, it was the defense's fault.
Oh, okay. I got it.
And Devin, you know, it's not like when Devin Williams blew his saves this year. It's completely different. You know, it's like, I mean, I my thing is just be fair. You know what I'm saying? Like, the same way I was mad at Clay Holmes blowing a save, I was just as mad at Devin Williams, bro. Like, it is what it is. You're the closer. Your job is to shut the door. When we see you, we're supposed to be getting ready to draw a W, not an L. So if anything but a W happens, I blame you. Sorry. Just, it's the name of the game.
Is it the defense's fault when he's spiking his sinker 58 feet, you know?
Soft contact, Christian. I mean, you know the arguments. Luckily,
I know the arguments. I
don't have
to
do them anymore. But it's the stuff of nightmares. Like, it's to the point where Clay Holmes he's a Met now. Like, he's not even in our league. But I still have the nightmares, Christian, of the arguments that I have with people about this guy.
I'm just saying, I'd say I'm a Will Warren guy. I'm a big Luke Weaver guy, man. I don't want to see guy pitch in another uniform next year.
Me neither.
And you know what? The Yankees need to hammer something out with him before he hits free agency. Do this guy a solid here, because the production you've gotten out of him over these last 2 years, when you essentially paid him barely over league minimum. And we all know, we understand why. We understand the role that he was brought here to do, you know, be a long guy in the bullpen, you know, maybe make a couple spot starts, be what Ryan Yarbrough is basically, right? We didn't know he was going to come in here and be a closer for an AL championship team and then have to save them again a month into the season.
After you traded for a league.
Do right by this guy, man.
It would be smart, but again, I'm glad I'm on the show that like this actually fits. Smart or Yankees. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean,
my present to you for co-hosting tonight is you have full autonomy to use that phrase whenever you want to. I will not hit you with a copyright.
You know, I'm messed up now. But dude, I don't know. Like I'm gonna look at once we get off here, I'm gonna look at his representation and do a little research and maybe go down a rabbit hole there and see these are the things I like to do. So I'll see, you know, what are the contracts that they've signed recently and just try to get a gauge on how they do business and see if it's even possible. If I do come to the conclusion that it's a possibility that they'll listen to the Yankees during the season, then I don't see how they don't do it, because you can't let this guy get the free. You just can't.
He's a jungle cat, man. He can't go somewhere else. Jungle Cat, Bronx Zoo. I mean, it fits, dude. It just...
On top of that, Christian, you're talking about 29 other teams that have seen him do what he did with the Yankees. Not just, because he's a closer, so it's pressure situation. No. Both, I don't know if people realize this with Luke Weaver. And I've been wanting to say this for a while, but I keep forgetting, so I'm glad we're talking about it. Think about the two instances in which Luke Weaver has taken the closer role.
Darius in the chat says he's a Boris guy.
He's a Boris guy?
That's what Darius is saying in the chat.
Glover knows his shit. So if he said that, oh, man. Well, there goes that.
He'll be a Met next year.
There will be no negotiating during the season, ladies and gentlemen. I can tell you that right now. But I was thinking about this the other day. Think of the two times where Luke Weaver took over the closer role for the New York Yankees. As if the closer role wasn't pressure enough, right? As if it wasn't already a big enough ask for a pitcher to step into the game in the ninth inning and to make sure that game ends in a win. The two times that he did it, he was taking the role from somebody who failed miserably. Somebody who was said to be a closer and was failing miserably, falling on their face bad. And he steps in the middle of a fire. I mean, the building is burning. It's coming down. Jet Set Cafe style. Shout out to all my Dominicans. And he steps in and he puts out the fire. He did it last year, all the way to the World Series. And now he's doing it again this year. And this year, it's almost an even bigger fire, because it's like, yo, it was freaking Devin Williams. Like, it's like, bro, if he can't do it, then, I mean, come on. Like, and he's doing it again. I don't know. It sucks that he's represented by Boris, though, because it's not going to happen during the year.
So I love how when the segues just happen on their own naturally. So you're talking about Scott Boris. Well, who's the biggest Boris client of them all?
Oh, you've got to be talking about Alex Rodriguez. No, I'm kidding.
Well, we've all waited for this since he took the Mets money and went over to Queens. Soto makes his return to the Bronx tomorrow night as the New York Yankees take on the Mets. And the best part about this is that both teams are playing really good baseball right now. So it's going to be an exciting series just because you have two good teams going out there to play against each other. And you always know that the emotions and the rivalry of the Subway Series here. And now you got the added caveat of Juan Soto's return to the Bronx. And how the big story is, how are the Yankee fans going to react to Juan Soto returning to the Bronx? And you got some people leading the charge. You got to boo Juan Soto. You have to boo him. And you have the charge of people that are saying, why are we going to boo Juan Soto? What did he really do to get to deserve to be booed? And then I hate giving talking cucks any credit, but I like their idea. When Soto comes up to bat, you don't boo, you don't cheer, you chant, "We got Grisham." I actually think that was pretty clever on their part. Hate giving him credit for anything, but I got to say that was a little...
More reasons than one, though, right, Christian? Because remember last year, the "We want Soto" chants happened during a Grisham at bat.
Right, they did. They did happen.
So that's actually pretty witty on their part. I'll give them credit too. I don't think it's going to... I'm weird with this Soto returning to the Bronx thing, because I fall on the side that you just outlined, where it's like I don't see the reason why we should have such vitriol for the guy. I mean, he didn't disrespect us. He didn't shit on us as fans. He didn't shit on the organization. He didn't shit on Judge. I mean, that interview that he did in DR, they brought up Aaron Judge, and the man waxed poetic about Judge for like the next 5 minutes. Like, he said he's the best. He's the best in everything. He said he's the best on the field. He's the best off the field. He's the best thinker. He's the best friend. He's the best everything. There's a reason that he's the captain. There's a reason that he's the guy. He said it twice. I mean, so for me, I hear that, and I was just like, I heard a guy who, you know, enjoyed his time being a Yankee, liked being here, really did, and somehow in the offseason decided that the better deal was elsewhere and that made more sense for his family. But he was only here a year. Like, why does that make me want to boo him? Like, I don't know. It does.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
So I'm not on that side. I don't know. Would you boo him?
Well, I just wanted to clarify. Now Darius is saying that he left Boris last year. He's got a new agent right now.
Beautiful. Yeah. Hey, clap it up in the chat, ladies and gentlemen. We have a chance.
I'll say this about Juan Soto. I think I might have mentioned this in past episodes, but it's fresh now, is what everybody's talking about. I don't see the need to boo Juan Soto. What I would rather do is show the guy a level of appreciation for what he did for this organization.
Thank you.
Juan Soto was brought here to do a job. Juan Soto was brought here to get the Yankees to a place they hadn't been in 15 years. Juan Soto did exactly that. Game 5, 10th inning versus Cleveland. He put the ball in the seats. We went to the World Series. That's the first time that has happened since 2009. I can't get to a point where I boo a guy that did the exact job he was brought here to do. Okay. Exactly. I'm telling you the truth, man. That's exactly what Juan Soto was brought here to do, and he did it. So did I like the way he negotiated? You know what? I can't sit here and tell you I had a problem with it either, because this guy had a unique opportunity to do something that most of us can only dream about. So he was in his God-given right as the top 1% of the top 1% of major league hitters to go out there and command and get whatever he could have gotten on the open market, and he went and did that. You know, I think a lot of us sat here and thought last year that get him in the building and show him what it's like to be a Yankee, and we might have an advantage on that. And I think that did play heavily into the negotiating process with him. Now, ultimately, money won out, but what I'm going to say is I think a lot of us also knew that, yes, we might have that advantage, but ultimately the bigger check is going to win out. And that's what happened. And a lot of people say, well, it's because he wanted to be a Met because it was only a small amount of money. No, the final numbers might dictate it was only a small amount of money. But you got to remember, the Yankees offered $760 over an extra year. The Mets over $765 for 1 year less. So it's not just $5 million. It's not just $5 million when, if he takes that opt out, if he opts in, that contract goes to over $800 million, where the Yankees didn't have that type of money on the table. And the suites, and the clothing allowance, and the cars, and every other little thing that the Yankees didn't do, because they didn't do that for Aaron Judge. They didn't do that for Derek Jeter. So how could you do that for Juan Soto? And I don't fault the Yankees for any way that they negotiated with Juan Soto. You put $760 million in front of somebody and he says no to that, you did your job, man. That's why I've been on record numerous times as saying the Yankees did nothing wrong and Juan Soto did nothing wrong, because Juan Soto went out there and he took the money, he took what he wanted, and that's perfectly fine. That was his God-given right based on his natural ability and being a free agent in the right market. And when you put $760 million in front of somebody, I can never fault you and say you didn't do enough to sign this guy. It was a marriage that was not meant to be. We were meant to be a summer fling. That's all this relationship was meant to be, a summer fling. And guess what? We had the summer of our lives with this guy, and now he married somebody else. And you know what I don't sit there and do and say? Oh, man, I wish I would have married this guy. Because you want to know why I say that, Francis? Because I'm in love with Max Fried, okay? I'm in love with Max Fried.
That is wild. Look, that was a good... Look, I didn't see that one coming, to be honest with you, but...
I will never come on here and say that I don't want Juan Soto in this lineup every day, and I didn't want Juan Soto to re-sign with the New York Yankees, but Francis, tell me I'm lying when I tell you this. The person that is more valuable to the 2025 Yankees is Max Fried over Juan Soto.
Right. I mean, it's not a bad argument. I mean, it's not a bad argument. So, I mean, Max Fried has been absolute nails for the Yankees. I mean, with the loss of Gerrit Cole, he has stepped into the role of the Yankee ace better than I think any one of us could have asked. I mean, there's really, he's another guy who, you know, because of how good Aaron Judge has been, he kind of goes unsung except for when he's actually starting. But I mean, where would this team be without Max Fried? It's a very scary thought where this team would be without Max Fried. Even with Aaron Judge doing what he's doing, there's a chance that we're floating around 500 without Max Fried.
Can you say the Yankees are better than 25-18 with Juan Soto in this lineup? I can't.
Time out. If it means. And taking from the lineup without Max Fried,
right? Exactly.
Because essentially what you're saying is Juan Soto's in the lineup, but you don't have Max Fried, and you lost Gerrit Cole. Carlos Rodon's the ace. I don't know that they're better than 25-18, to be honest with you. But it's not a knock on Soto.
I said that in a post on X today, is that I'm not knocking Juan Soto. I'm giving a lot of love to Max Fried right now.
Because then you, I mean, you could make the argument though, and we said this going into the offseason. There's no reason why they can't have both Max Fried and Soto, because they went and traded for Cody Bellinger and then they signed Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, you say they kept Soto, they retained Soto and they signed Fried, but then you don't add the $25 million for Bellinger and the, what was it, 12 for Paul Goldschmidt. Like, I mean, yeah, you do the math there, whatever. Like, yeah, it's still high. It's still a high payroll, but you allocated the money differently. And instead of two players offensively, you kept the one in Soto. And then you got Ben Rice playing first base for you probably every day, which we didn't know it for sure going into the year, but that would have been a pretty good sell, because look at how good he's been this year.
Yeah, this offense has not, I'll be honest with you, and I can't believe I'm saying this, offense has not really missed Juan Soto. But dude, you
missed? I don't know if I can say this offense has missed Juan Soto, but I do feel like sometimes when I look at this team and I feel, when I look at this team and I assess that there is something missing, And what I always come back to is Juan Soto. And the reason that I do, it's not necessarily production, Kristen. It's not like they're missing his home runs or the what. No. They're missing the urgency.
And yes, I'm glad you said that, because that was a point that I made on X and on this show, is that the Yankees are missing the urgency that Juan Soto brought this team last year. Yes. Is that they knew they had to put their foot down and try to go for every game that was in front of them. Yep. You didn't see Sunday punts, getaway day punts last year, because the Yankees knew they had to maximize every day with Juan Soto. You know, there were no Pablo Reyes with a healthy team last year. You know, the Yankees weren't going that route. You know, they weren't resting Luke Weaver when you could have pitched him, you know?
No. But I think, to me, that's the biggest thing missing, is attitude. What Juan Soto brought to the Yankees was so much more than what he did on the field. And I think the other side of it it's already been forgotten, believe it or not. People forgot that last year, this was a team that for a long part of the season played with their hair on fire. Like, this team was on a mission, and they knew the mission, and it was clear. And the mission was number 28. That's what it was. This guy's here because we're trying to win a championship. Not tomorrow, not next year, because none of that shit is guaranteed. Because this guy could walk in the offseason, and he actually freaking did. But at the time, we didn't know whether he was going to walk or not. But they played like there was no tomorrow, because there was no guarantee. And that was the beauty of having him there. Do I know that would still be the case this year? No, because if they signed him, then they could probably still sit back and rest on their laurels, because they would say, well, we signed him for 16 years, so he's going to be here. There will be a tomorrow. If we don't win this year, there'll be a next year. Who's to say that they would have still played like last year?
You're right. I think they would have taken this same, you know, line up for us today, we'll play tomorrow, which last year they played for today every single day. And that was the first time that since Boone's been here that I saw that attitude out of this team.
Again, having Juan Soto on my team meant a lot of things to me, right? It meant a lot of things to me. I mean, I grew up in this city. I'm half Puerto Rican, I'm half Dominican. For me, you know, Juan Soto being a Dominican and being as good as he is and doing what he's done in this game at this young age is special. It means something to an entire nation of people. But being a native New Yorker, like, we're all over this city. And having Juan Soto in New York wearing my team's jersey meant something to me. That shit was special. The vibe in the stadium last season was special. That's another thing that hasn't been the same this year. And nobody's going to say it, because the Yankees, they're winning. They're 25-18. So we don't have to even talk about it. But let's be honest, bro. The vibe in the stadium last year was special, man. It was special. If it hadn't felt like that, I don't know if this stadium, this new Yankee stadium that we've been in since, I don't know that it ever felt the way that it did last year. Juan Soto brought that, because the fans, everybody was into it. Everybody was into it. We knew that on this team, we had Judge and Soto. We knew that we had a duo that nobody nowhere could say, oh, yeah, we can fuck with that. As good as the Dodgers were, their duo wasn't as good as our duo. You can say that, oh, well, in October, whatever like that, you know, Judge didn't show. Okay, fine. But I'm talking about duo versus duo overall. regular season, October, everything included, judging Soto is judging Soto, bro. Nobody could boast anything better than that.
I think a lot, and you're right, bro. I think a lot of the fans realize that we had this special season that we might only get to experience once. So that different energy was there that we hadn't experienced.
It was nice.
No, I'm telling you, bro. I was at a game. I think they were playing the Rockies, and it was Soto, Judge, and Stan went back to back to back. For a regular season game. Wow. Against a bad baseball team, I don't think I was ever so euphoric in that moment. And a lot of it was brought on because you had Juan Soto lead this. And I went to the game with my daughter. She was four last summer. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, bro, I think I threw it through the freaking roof because we were under the hang there. She might have had a concussion, dude. I was just going freaking crazy.
Oh, no, he hit it with the Rizzo. It's crazy. Can't Rizzo your daughter, bro. That's no good. Listen, I want to say this. Francis Lee is probably never going to boo Juan Soto. All right, I'm going to put that out there right now. Y'all already know Pete Simonetti's not booing Juan Soto. It's his best friend. It's not going to happen. All right, any of you holding out hope for that, I'm sorry. All right, let it go. It's not going to happen. All right, but I'm going to speak for me. I'm never booing the guy. I'm sorry. He meant something to this team, and he meant something to me. Seeing him put on this jersey was special, okay? He got us to the World Series. You said it, bro. American League champions. We went to the World Series for the first time since 2009. 15 years. The problem is that a lot of younger fans, they don't know what it's like. They don't know what we grew up watching. They don't know the legacy that this team had. They don't know the excellence that this team used to represent. They don't know that when we got back to the World Series last year, it felt like all was right in the world again, even if it was just for a moment, even if it was short-lived. That week leading up to the World Series, it felt like the world was balanced again, bro, because the New York Yankees were in the World Series again. Because when we saw the out-of-town scoreboard, it was going to be black. Nobody else was playing. It was just us and our opponent. And that's the way the game was. When I was growing up, we did that a lot. We did that a lot, and we went 15 years without that. And this dude came, and I'm not saying he did it by himself. Obviously, it's a team game. Baseball is a team sport. I get it. But, bro, he played such a big part in that. That how am I going to look at this not even a year later and fix my lips to boo the guy? I'm not doing it. People are going to get mad at me for saying it, but we should be grateful to Juan Soto for the season that he gave us last year. People are going to say, what do you mean grateful? He left us for the Mets. You can't. These are the same people that say, oh, they're just the Mets. They're just the Mets. They're little brother. They're the Mutts. We don't care about them. Okay, well, you don't care about them? They're little brother? Then why are you so butthurt that he signed with them? You know why? You know why it doesn't sting me that bad? You know why, in reality, I'm not going to boo him and I don't harbor any ill will towards him or any vitriol? Because to me, they really are just the Mets. So it doesn't bother me that he signed with the Mets. It would have bothered me if he signed with fucking Houston. It would have bothered me
with
the Red Sox.
Right.
It would have bothered me if he went to the Blue Jays or do you remember the Tampa Bay? Remember the beginning of the offseason? They said Tampa Bay might be interested.
Okay.
But if he would have done something like that, yeah, I would have been like, damn, Juan, really? You went to a division rival? That's kind of what. Yeah, man, you went to the Crosstown Rivals. Okay, Crosstown Rivals, Subway Series. Oh, we're going to play each other rivalry weekend or whatever. Okay. Bro, they're making it bigger than what it is. This is all marketing. In reality, bro, it doesn't matter. We don't play in the same division. These games, they're three games. They matter to our win-loss. They don't really matter in the grand scheme of things unless we meet in the World Series. And what are the chances of that, people, in May? Let's be honest with us. Let's be honest with each other here. I'm sorry, buddy. It is what it is. Like I just think people gotta pick, they gotta pick which side they're on. If it's just the Mets, if they're little brother, if they're whatever, then why do you care so much that he's there? If they really are that to you, then you shouldn't care that he signed with them. It should be as if he signed with any other team. But if you're going to admit that it stings, then just admit that, yeah, you do care about the Mets. They do get under your skin. They're more than little brother. They're not just the Mets. Be honest.
I just think it's going to get ugly tomorrow because you're going to get this gang mentality that some people are going to start booing, and then that's going to be the cool thing to do. And even if there are fans like you and Pete there cheering,
you're not going to
hear it. And then...
I wish I was going to be there. I'm not. We're going to be.
Man, and then you know what? Soto and his publicist John Heyman are already playing into it with the whole 50,000-to-1 thing. And then Heyman on his podcast was trying to make you feel bad for Soto, saying he knows it's going to be really. They're going to be really mean to him tomorrow. And just stop. The guy's a grown man. He's making $50 million a year to play baseball. If he can't handle people booing him, then he's not who we thought he was, number one. And number two, you know what? The Yankee fans are going to handle this how they're going to handle this, okay? If you're going to boo him, boo him. The F Juan Soto shit, that is where I draw the line, okay? If you want to boo him, do what you got to do. Express your displeasure for him not being here and not being a Yankee for the rest of his life and that he's a Met and all this and all the other things that went along with that, because it wasn't so much the negotiations that bothered me. It's everything that he said since then. Just stop talking, okay? You're not here. Just stop talking, okay? I love you. I appreciate game 5. I'll love you forever until we actually win a World Series for that, okay? But just stop talking about us, okay? Met fans are like, yo, you guys are the jealous ex-girlfriend. He can't stop talking about us, though. What do you want us to do?
I give him grace for that, though, Christian, because at the end of the day, they don't stop asking him about us, though. Like,
How about I'm a Met now, and this is what I want to focus on? How about that, though?
But here's the thing. You know why he's not going to say that? You know why he's not going to say that?
Because he loves us?
Because it's not true. Because it's not true. Exactly. That's why. Because, yes, there is a part of Juan Soto, and he's admitted to that, that absolutely positively loved being a Yankee, and he doesn't have a problem with the Yankees. I'm sure that if he comes here this weekend and literally gets booed and whatever, he's trying to say, like, oh, I'm ready for it, I'm prepared for it or whatever. But I think that deep down, bro, that shit, he's going to walk out of that, and he's going to be a little bit hurt. He might not let on. He might not say it to anybody. He might not even show it on the field. But I guarantee you a part of him is going to be like, damn, bro, like, it's crazy because just a year ago, like I was everything to those people, and they just booed me out of the stadium.
Bro, he gave us everything that he had. Right?
Literally,
he gave us we brought him here to do a job. He did that
and more. He had a career year with us, 41 home runs. Like the dude, bro, he would have been. I mean, he played MVP level. Problem is, he played with Aaron Judge. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's true,
dude. I can't sit here and say I don't get it because I know, dude, it's Yankees fans. Like, people,
boo him. Boo, you want to boo him, boo him. We need to, well, I'm telling you right now, don't embarrass this entire fan base with the F Juan Soto.
But you know it's going to happen, bro, because remember, when the F Altuve shit started, the moment that we started voicing displeasure with it, it got louder. It got louder. The best thing that people can do, people like me, people like you, people like Pete, the sensible Yankees fans, the best thing that we can do is ignore it. I think it's going to happen this weekend no matter what we do. I think the best thing that we can do is ignore it. If we give it a voice, if we give it a platform, it's just going to get bigger. They're just going to continue to do it. And I think if we ignore it, maybe we can stop this from becoming the new F. Altuve, because that shit made me cringe. I couldn't stand. And I don't like Altuve. Like, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but when it was happening on a Wednesday afternoon against the Royals, you're like, why?
Bro, I don't like Altuve. He's not my cup of tea. I don't like him at all. This is completely different from Soto, who I love. I did not like Altuve. But it's exactly what you said, bro. We're saying F a guy. We're playing the Kansas City Royals in the middle of the week, and we're saying F this guy who's not even he's not even in the city. He's not even in the tri-state area. Why are we thinking about him? This is not Yankees fan. This is not what we do. This is not who the Yankees fans are. I saw somebody write in the chat a while ago. They were like, Steinbrenner. I think they were talking about George. Steinbrenner hated the Mets. Yeah, but he didn't let the Mets ruminate in his mind. George Steinbrenner didn't make a damn, he didn't do a damn thing thinking about the Mets, the Red Sox, or whatever. Every move he made, everything he did was because he thought that the Yankees were the best. And if he thought about them, it was the afterthought. Like, yeah, they can't compete with this. But he didn't make moves thinking, oh, I got to try to do this because I don't want these people to whatever, or I don't want the Red Sox, or I don't want this. No, he moved like he was the standard. These days, Yankee fans, but I don't know. Sometimes I see people in the stadium doing shit. I'm like, when the hell did we become the freaking, I don't know what's like, sitting here talking about F. Altuve. Now that now we got F. Juan Soto shirts. People are selling them.
It's a joke.
Cheeks, a dude that brought us to the World Series. They're selling shirts.
It's embarrassing. It's honestly embarrassing. I'm sorry. Cheeks with the super chat says, well, I'll be damned. Two legends tonight. Love it. Love you, Cheeks. Okay.
Cheeks.
So I just want to, we only got a couple minutes left here on the show. So I want to get to this poll that I ran on X at NYYST_podcast. I said, what reaction should Juan Soto receive from Yankee fans when he returns to the stadium this weekend? 45% said silence. That was the winner. 41% said boos. And then nobody thinks he should be cheered because that came in third, distant third at 14%.
I voted for cheered. I'm just going to tell y'all right now.
I would think that if you don't want to cheer him, I would say, you know what? The thing that would really piss him off more than anything, don't
say
anything.
Pete voted cheer too. See?
How about don't say anything? Complete silence. Treat him like a nothing. You really want to get him go? You really want to get under Juan Soto's skin because he thrives off of this emotion. He thrives off of the spotlight. Treat him like he's a nobody. Treat him like he's Taylor Walls of the Tampa Bay Rays. That's what you do. And then that'll really set him off there. Because I'm telling you right now, would it surprise me in the slightest if he goes out there and hits four home runs this weekend? No. Because he's been waiting for this for a month and a half now to come here and just show out at Yankee Stadium. He's had a pretty rocky start to the season here. He's been highly average, and he'll come out here and prove what a superstar he is, and then he'll go out, and, you know, he might hit 210 the next week, and it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest because this is what the Met fans want, this is what baseball wants, and this is what he wants. When the lights are on now, here comes Juan Soto to stick it to the New York Yankees. So you don't want that to happen? Don't fuel this, okay? You don't want to cheer him, okay? You don't, I'm saying, you want to boo, whatever. I would stay away from the F Soto stuff, but you treat him like he's a nobody because Reggie Jackson always said this, they don't boo nobodies.
It's 100. Look, you bring up a great point. I think people forget, like, this is still Juan Soto. He thrives off of energy. It doesn't matter what kind of energy. It's not that he only thrives off of love. No, he thrives off hate too. Energy, period. It takes the same amount of energy to love as it does to hate. If you're giving him energy this weekend, don't be surprised if he goes ahead and turns that energy back around in your direction. We saw it in spring training. He literally eyeballs this dude that's telling him he's overrated or whatever, eyeballs him, and then goes, steps up to the plate, and hits a home run right to the guy.
Spring training, bro. This guy's showing.
You understand? Nobody cares about spring training. Nobody cares. These numbers don't count towards nothing. Juan Soto.
Everybody in the major league world is going to be watching these next three games. You don't think he knows that?
Major league world, I'm talking, bro, these games are big. Okay, they're doing things in DR. They're doing things everywhere. NYYU is having an event on Sunday. Y'all already know. Legacy Bar and Grill. Yeah, the game is at 7 p.m. Be there or be square. We are going to be there calling the game live. Of course, you know, we don't stay behind, man. We always deliver for the fans. Everybody, this is going to be a big thing for everywhere. And Soto thrives off of that shit. So you're 100% right. You want to send a real message? Silence. Just continue doing whatever you were doing before he came with the bat. That would actually probably result in him not playing the best if nothing happened. Because it would be like when you're like bracing for something and then it never happens, you just fall on nothing. Like it'd be like he's going into the weekend bracing himself for something and then you just never gave it to him. He didn't fall flat on his face.
They don't care about me?
He'd be like, I thought they were going to be upset. Huh? Dude, I don't know. I'm just...
Well, the first person that's going to be tasked with stopping Juan Soto is Carlos Rodon. Okay, hey. He's got the ball on Friday night against Tyler McGill at 7:05. And then Saturday, it's going to be Griffin Canning against Clark Schmidt. And then Sunday Night Baseball, it's going to be Max Fried against David Peterson. Aaron Boone doing something he doesn't usually do.
Not to Booney.
He's skipping Ryan Yarbrough, who's been really good for the Yankees, but he wants his ace on the mound against the Mets here. I don't know. That's giving the Mets a little bit too much credit in my mind, but I am glad that we're going to see Max Fried go out there against the New York Mets this weekend. So 7:05 Friday, 1:05 Saturday, and then game season live from the Legacy Club on Sunday for Sunday Night Baseball. So, Francis, we only got a couple minutes here. I want to thank you so much for joining me here tonight, man. It's been a pleasure doing the show with you. Sam, we want to wish you well, bro. We know you've been feeling under the weather here, but Paul, pull Francis Schmidt over here, stepped up here with the pinch hit home run tonight. Had a blast doing the show with you, man. So thank you. And you're hopefully we can do this again soon, but under better circumstances where my cousin isn't on his way out. Yeah. On his last breath here. If you've been in the chat tonight, we want to thank you. Hit the like button, subscribe to NYYU, and please make sure that you are subscribed to the NYYST podcast on your favorite podcast platform. We don't want you to miss any shows throughout the course of the season. And if while you're there, subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Jira says, great show. You're the MVP. Thank you. Okay. Pete couldn't do it without you. We couldn't do it without you. You're the best. Francis is the – everybody's the best except for Juan Soto this weekend. How about that?
He might be if you keep saying that.
And tell everybody that NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. Francis, you got anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Let's go, Soto. I'm messing with y'all. I'm just trolling y'all. Nah, man, that's it. Y'all already know, man. Game season live tomorrow, Saturday also. But most importantly, please come out to Legacy Bar and Grill on Sunday night. We are hosting a live game season from Legacy Bar and Grill, bro. You guys, for anybody who went to the playoff event, you guys already know the kind of vibes, the music, the food, the energy. It's unmatched. Literally, man, if you're going to the game, shouts out to you. But if you are not going to the game, there is only one other place that you should want to be, and that's with us at Legacy on Sunday. So I hope to see as many of you there as possible. Yankees fans, Mets fans, everybody's welcome. Come chill with your boys on Sunday, man. It's going to be a vibe.
So we want to thank everybody for the continued support of NYYST and NYY Underground. We want to thank everybody for listening and watching episode 465. I'll say goodbye. We'll see you guys later. Go Yanks. Can't make a promise, but I do my best. 25 sitting on 25 racks. Just got started, no, we ain't done yet. Bought a new crib, that's a goddamn flex. Sign that check. Told them last year that I've been up next. Can't take calls, but I send that check. Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed. Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. Going up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button. Going down. We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro. 5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off. If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.